That new Greek tanning place, Santorini Tan, is doing half off for law enforcement. You get half off of any tanning or what they call speed tanning.
I have an announcement to make. Suck my big black I won the lotto! I won the lotto! I'm a millionaire! And I don't have to sit here anymore and listen to your bull you crazy you! You! Suck my you mother suckers! Yes!
Fantasy football!
Wow, that was pretty intense.
Yeah, which part?
Everything?
Yeah.
You,
like the
intro. That was Reno 911, I assume?
It was, yeah.
Okay. As a cop, is that like one of your favorite shows?
Whoa, bro, you're not supposed to tell people.
As an aspiring cop,
yes,
who's never gonna make it, right. Is that like your favorite show?
Favorite show? No, but there's certainly like nuanced humor that you might not find as funny if you're not an aspiring police officer.
And do you think that the creators of that show have some like law enforcement background?
I mean, there's a connection somewhere. I don't know if it's them or people they know. But yeah, okay. there is some sort of someone on the inside that's given a little insight.
I feel like the most important part of that opener though was the lottery discussion.
Right.
I spent a lot of time thinking about what I would do if I won the lottery. Hell of a lot more time than I spend actually playing the lottery, which is never.
You didn't even buy tickets in the current lotto climate?
No, isn't it like 1. Something billion or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Mega Millions, which draws tonight, is up to 1.6 billion for the jackpot, which is the highest ever.
And do you have a ticket?
I bought a Mega Millions ticket this afternoon.
Wow.
And Powerball jackpot is, I don't know, 500 million or something. So I bought one of those also.
Wow, I did not know you for a lottery playing type.
I'm not, but I mean, just you have a numbers-based analytical mind. Just consider the return on investment when a $2 ticket gets you $1.6 billion.
All right, and we know that's, you know, like, after taxes and shit, you know, we'll call
yeah, I think
it.
It's like 906 million, I think, is the cash.
And, is that the lump sum or is yeah. that they yeah. pay you?
No, that's the cash buyout, I think, is 906 million.
Yo, could I have like 10 million if you win?
Ah, man, I'll have to I'm going to have to put together a couple spreadsheets.
All right,
you know, do out the numbers, and if there's little left
over. Could you just pay off my house?
We'll see.
Could I have like $100?
$100. I will put it to record. If I win the $1.6 billion Mega Millions lotto jackpot, I will give you $100.
And if you only win the 500 million jackpot or whatever,
then
what
I will
that?
Give you $50.
Okay, I'll take it. How does your life change? Like, what's the biggest change in your life if you win one of these things?
I just don't work anymore.
But that's it? You don't have any goals, aspirations?
No, but I think that's, I guess it just depends on how you qualify what is the biggest. Like, I feel like that's the biggest change because right now I'm, you know, looking down the tunnel of my life, it's based almost entirely around work. And
sure.
If I make all that money, I am not going to, at least I'm not going to, you know, who knows? I don't consider myself one of these people that's like, oh, I'd have to work. I don't have to work. I would not have to have a job. I might do something like for fun, but it's always going to be like on my terms. Like I do it when I want to. I don't do it when I don't want to. And essentially no one's my boss.
And what's that? Like you can't fish when it's snowing out.
Yeah. So that's when I'm not doing my work.
Whatever your for fun job is.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it would probably change. You know, I might just like go to like a zoo one day and be like, hey guys, I work here now for the day. And they'd be like, what? And I'd be like, here is, you know, $50,000. Shut up and let me work at the zoo today.
All you have to do is win that game show Zookeeper for a day and you're set. Spend the money.
That's a game show?
That was a game show like 25 years ago. But for like, 50 grand, you could bring it back for the day.
Isn't that a movie with Mark Wahlberg?
You're thinking of We Bought a Zoo.
The Zookeeper's Wife.
Matt Damon. Zookeeper's Wife? I have no idea what that is.
Oh. Yeah, We Bought a Zoo. Sidebar. I decided today that also that I don't like the concept of zoos.
Really? It's because I got a 2-year-old who would beg to differ.
Yeah, but I mean, just like you see those, you see videos on like Facebook of like zoo animals doing funny things. And it's like, man, that kind of sucks that you took this animal like halfway across the world and just stuck it in a cage. If I can just let my heart bleed for a little bit right now.
So I agree.
Like, let me ask you this. Have you ever been to a zoo and seen an animal exhibit and be like, man, this animal's got it fucking made. This animal's so lucky it's in a zoo.
There was a fucking house cat masquerading as some like exotic animal at the Sacramento Zoo.
Yeah.
And it had a huge enclosure and just got people to look at it all day. I feel like that cat had it all.
Yeah, maybe. That was probably just like a personal pet of someone that worked there. They were like, look how stupid these idiots are, that these mouth breathers that come to the zoo. I'm just going to paint the tips of my cat's ears black and throw it in a cage.
And then give it a long scientific name and then no one will call me on it. But
yeah,
today is their fucking reckoning because I'm calling them on it. I'm going to tie these two categories together.
Which two categories?
Two topics. Zoos and how much what I would do with all that money. I've long said that if I was rich, I would have a proper fish tank.
Okay.
Like an aquarium to end all aquariums.
Yeah.
I do not want to take care of it.
Yeah.
Because I would kill the fish, but I want to look at it and I want to pay someone to take care of it. How do you feel about fish being in an aquarium versus animals being in a zoo?
I'm much more okay with the fish in the aquarium. They just don't have the same brain development. You know what I mean?
Says you.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of comes back to, it's just observation. I heard an argument one time. I think it was when I was at Cal Poly. There was some sort of like public demonstration and it was for like vegetarians and vegans and stuff. And, Cal Poly is like it's in an agricultural part of California. It's a technical institute. So there's a lot of like ag programs there. So there's certainly a student population of just like farmers. And so there was like a demonstration and the vegans or whatever yelling about meat is murder and, you know, you're killing these animals, blah, 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 blah. And this guy, he was just like, when you show me a cow do something better than be a hamburger, I'll get on your side. And I was just like, man, I fucking, that resonates with me. Like, when have you seen a cow do anything other than just like stand? And hamburgers are really good. Fish just kind of swim around. So if you give them their perfect habitat, they're still just kind of like swimming around. They're not really doing anything cool. So like when you show me a fish in its natural habitat doing something better than being a fish in a sick ass aquarium, then I'll get on your team.
Do you want to talk fantasy football?
No, we're still lotto. There's more to this lotto talk. Your aquarium, is this freshwater or saltwater?
I probably have both, but certainly I'm most interested in saltwater.
Do you have an ideal like setup? Like, do you picture, is this a wall? Is it a coffee table? Is it, do you have an idea?
Yeah. So I want it in the wall, you know, like what, so kind of like in the, inside in the wall. You know, obviously you're going to have to be able to access the aquarium behind the wall. So I don't really know the logistics of all that.
But you're rich, but, so you don't worry about it.
Yeah, but it's big. I mean, it's, you know, let's call it 4 feet high and, you know, 12 feet long.
You have to go higher than 4 feet.
6 feet.
Just do an entire wall. Just make an entire wall in your house, an aquarium, big enough that you could have like a shark in there.
Okay.
Billions of dollars. But
yeah, and I honestly probably start small and just keep going bigger and bigger because I have so much money. But what I'm really interested in is having a lionfish.
Okay.
Like that's my dream fish. I remember...
I wish I had a harp noise drop while you talk about your lionfish. It's just, you know, dreaming.
Do you remember our neighbor Tom's aquarium?
Oh, man. You're going to have to start by telling me what house we're in.
Hollister House.
Okay. And Tom was the guy that was obsessed with the Raiders and had the Dalmatian.
Yep. And had the huge shed that we would smack home runs off of.
And one time his Dalmatian was a show dog. And one time I like rubbed dirt on it or something. So he carried me over to Dad's office window and was like, "Your son rubbed dirt on my show dog. Do I have your permission to spank him?" And Dad was like, "Yeah, go ahead." And then he like spanked me and I called him out for it being like a pussy spank. So then he like spanked me harder. And then I was like, "This is an uncomfortable situation because you're not my dad." Oh, it was weird. I never went over there after that.
I think his dog's name was Deuce.
Deuce the Dalmatian. Yep.
Anyway, he had a lionfish at one point. And he had a weird relationship with
guy, Jeff.
Yeah, so was he gay?
Ah, man, tough to say because he had a daughter, but he didn't have a wife. Jeff was just like his living like yard worker. He'd just be like mowing their lawn and be like, "Oh yeah, that's Jeff. He mows my lawn and we go to professional wrestling events together."
Yeah. So Greg, if you want to get a face to this name, you're gonna need to watch Monday Nitro in 1996 or seven,
obviously,
in Sacramento. Look, Google Nitro Sacramento 1996 or 97, then watch that on the WWE Network because this dude was fucking front row.
Yeah. I don't remember his aquarium, but the aquarium talk does dig up some bones for me.
I know this. I didn't want to bring this up.
This is a sore subject. Let's go. This was one of the jumping off points of like where I was really starting to blossom into the person I am today in terms of like when I had a task at hand, I just had to like just research it and like obsess with it to maybe an unhealthy point. So I had, you know, saved up some money and I wanted an aquarium. And I'm in high school. Yep. I'm in high school. Buy this aquarium. It's like a 50 gallon tank. you know, I probably put $250 or something into this aquarium, which was a big deal for a high schooler. I did everything. I researched it extensively. I did everything correctly in terms of like when you introduce what types of fish to try and maintain the ecosystem. You know, you start with whatever the top feeders and work down to the bottom feeders or vice versa. I don't remember the rules, but I did it all to a T. I had these two, I had a motif. It was in like a Roman ruins. You know, I had like pillars, like columns, and the Colosseum, I think, was in my aquarium. And my two prized fish, I had these two gold gouramis named Montressor and Fortunato. And I added a bunch of tetras, I think, which were just like the middle layer feeders. They're just like these little tiny fish. There's fuck ton of them. They just swim around. And then the bottom feeders were the pandacories, and I got those last. So they're little catfish that have like spots, kind of look like pandas. And I got those from what, like Petco in Sacramento?
And, I think it was PetSmart.
And dumped them in the tank. And this was like the final piece, you know, to create my like fish ecosystem. Now I have the bottom feeders and it's all perfect. And like as soon as they hit the water, they just kind of schooled up and never moved again, which, because I had done my research, I was like, that's uncommon that they're like schooling up like that. Like, that's not how this is supposed to work. And slowly the pH in the tank just got completely out of control, and one by one every fish died, and it was just like this terrible experience and failure. And I took one of the quarries back to PetSmart, and I think ultimately what we found out is that their fish were like diseased, so I like introduced diseased fish to my prized fish tank and it fucked everything up. And thanks, PetSmart.
And you're just never jump back in?
No, it was way too traumatic.
Will you ever go back?
Probably not. I mean, if it had been easier, I would have tried again. But the thing is once whatever the hell got into that tank and killed all those fish, once it was in there, I essentially had to throw away everything except the, you know, glass tank. And then I would have to like professionally clean the glass tank to get rid of whatever was in there that killed all the, and that was just like way too much work for a kid in high school.
I remember that too. Like we would drive to PetSmart and just like look at fish.
Yeah.
Like you were planning this for a long time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And we would like, I remember as the guy who like can't wait for things, I was just like, come on, buy the fish. I want to see the fish. Come on,
I would go to, I went to like every freshwater fish store in the greater Sacramento area. And some of them were sketchy as hell. It would be like Dave's Aquamart. And it's just like some fucking loser who, you know, doesn't have a job, but sells fish out of his trailer. It's just like he like built a room and threw like a tarp over the top of it. And he's like, yeah, this is my Oscar. It's like, all right, man, never mind. I didn't know what I was. I drove my ass all the way out to Elk Grove for this. Okay, fantasy football. I guess real quick, I was a little reluctant to get into it. I feel like it's become official at this point. I'm basically pronouncing my team dead. Mark your calendars. Tuesday, October 23rd, 2018. Headed into week 8 of the NFL season. My team's dead. I have 5 losses, which right now there's essentially one playoff spot up for grabs. I'd say the competitors for that are like me, Curtis, you, Greg, right?
Sure.
Does this make sense?
Yes.
So I have 5 losses.
As do I.
And I feel like in order to grab that last spot If you have five losses, you pretty much need to win out from this point. If you want that. And this week I play Bryce. So soon to have six losses, I'm ready to call it.
Yeah, I think because fourth place right now is 3-4 and you have more points than them, I'm hesitant to buy into that. With that being said, I've called it on my team as well.
Yeah, do you want to say any more?
Yeah, about? I'm declaring whatever time it is on whatever day it is that the NKO Wolfpack is dead. Long live NKO Black and White.
So you're hopping on board then?
Yeah.
With the other Keith order.
Change. Yeah.
Okay. So there you have it. Good luck to the rest of the episodes of this podcast, since the two hosts have basically given up on fantasy football for the rest of the year. Waiver waves. Looking back to last week, Ito Smith picked up by Game of Jones. Should we quickly go over name changes that have taken place?
Yeah, so Game of Jones is Curtis. He's really embracing Julio Jones.
Yep, Game of Jones.
NKO Wolfpack is me. The origin of that can be heard on last week's episode.
Look it up.
And then I think that's it. I think everyone else. Or have we discussed Mitch's bitches yet?
Talking about history.
Yeah, that's Greg. No longer Ron Rivera's Wet Woody. He is now Mitch's bitches after Mitchell Trubisky business. Is that all of them?
Well, Bryce officially is Get Joe Mixon.
Bryce is Get Joe Mixon. And Aaron just had a slight tweak. I don't know if we talked about it yet. She used to be One Girl, One Cup. Cooper Cup got injured, and she changed it to One Girl, No Cup. So that was pretty clever. So back to the waivers. Ito Smith to Game of Jones Curtis at $18. The only other fab bid was me at $5. There was a lot of running backs kind of moving around the league this past week. Lamar Miller, I want to say, was dropped by Curtis.
I believe it's Curtis, which is interesting for him, a guy who's shallow at running back.
So Lamar Miller dropped by, we think, Curtis, picked up by No Cup Girl at $8. Only other bid on that, me at $5. Which brings us to Latavius Murray, who was dropped by the Dalvin Cook owner, Mark, I believe. Picked up by me at $5. Frank Gore goes to Keith Sr. At a straight ad, $0 bid. And then after waivers went through, I snapped up Nick Chubb. Mark grabbed Duke Johnson. And Mark also grabbed Jalen Rashad. Did you get caught sleeping there, or did you just not value Jalen Rashad as the Marshawn Lynch owner?
A part of me calling my team done is I'm kind of fallen off a bit on the waivers. Yes. And I think you can see that with a few teams that just aren't making many moves. I should have picked up Jalen Rashad. I mean, I should have looked to add Nick Chubb.
Yes.
I should have looked for Latavius Murray.
Yes.
Ito Smith. I mean, yes. I'm real tired.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough when your team sucks, which our teams suck. Also, fantasy football kind of sucks. I just want to throw that out there too. Like, fuck you, Keenan Allen.
It's very frustrating, and this is why I think we need to have some sort of keeper component, because I would love to be planning for the future right now.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's in the works. I think that'll come. because
yeah, and I think it's a little bit better, like, because we're thinking of expanding. I don't think that we should have keepers this year. Like, I think we, if we're doing keepers, we're gonna want to keep the league kind of where it's at size wise,
right?
In that year.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think every move you made and every move that Mark made was a good one. Like, you and Mark were all over picking up all the backups that had become starters. You know,
and it's still just not going to help me.
Yeah, I mean, you still have to play Bryce, right? So
still have to play Bryce.
You might as well
get to it.
Just give up.
In the matchups, yeah. We'll get there. Those, but those were the waivers. Anything else on waivers?
No, I got a couple claims in this week, so maybe I'll be
you gonna turn it around.
Yeah, hoping.
Okay, it's that time, baby.
Yeah.
And so big, I told her, look back at it. Whoa. Look back at it. Whoa. Look back at it. Whoa. Then I'll put a fat rabbit on a crap medic.
Oh, the last week's look back, the week that crushed my fantasy soul. And it sounds like probably crushed your fantasy soul as well. And why did that happen? You played.
Do we have to talk about it?
Yeah, you played Mitch's Bitches in what is going to be our matchup. Massacre.
Greg killed him. Greg broke him in half.
Yeah, Greg just fucking took you behind the shed and put you out of your misery. Greg put up 159.7 points to your 92.1 for a difference of 67.6. Which...
Fatality.
Thanks, Mortal Kombat. That was both the highest score this week and the lowest score this week. So you can understand why it's a massacre.
I think this is kind of karmic in that last week we did my luck independent rankings. And the fun fact about my team was that I never had the fewest points in a week.
Take that.
So anyway, my team fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Much worse than yours.
And what other fantasy football podcasts are dropping words like karmic?
Can we not just focus on it? Can we move on?
Yeah, please? We can stop shitting on you and we can shit on me. Sounds so bittersweet. I am the focus. I played Mark, and like we talked about in the preview, it was a heads up game. There were this matchup, there was all kinds of crazy shit that ended up happening. It was a heads up game, and then the Chargers played in London at like 9:30 Eastern. Super early game. I was at work working an early shift, so I had already been awake for a while. And I saw an alert that Melvin Gordon was not active for the game. And there was like a small part of me that was like, man, I hope Mark is sleeping or just doesn't get this and still has Melvin Gordon starting. Like, this is the edge that I need. That didn't happen. So he ended up changing his roster around out of necessity. So that heads up projection went out the window. And then with the roster changes, I was projected to win by 15 points. And this matchup actually ended up being our only upset last week. So it automatically becomes the ultimate upset. But so I was projected to win by 15. Mark ended up beating me by 26. So that was a 41-point swing. You want to hear about it?
I do.
This one came down to QBs and boobies. Mahomes and Locke each threw for four tutties for Mark. And even Emmanuel Sanders got in there and threw a tutty for Mark. Keenan Allen, single digits, booby. Ezekiel Elliott, single digits, booby. LeSean McCoy got two carries for 1 yard before leaving the game with a concussion. And I just wanted to throw in on the end of this. I'm not saying it was a bad performance, and I'm not pointing to this as a reason why I lost, but I did just want to point out another 11-point game from Christian McCaffrey. So that's now three games without Greg Olsen being active where he scored 20 points, and then three games with Greg Olsen active where he scored 11, 10, and 11. Another thing that I skipped over, Marlon Mack put up 30 points. I mean, who knows if he would even have been starting if Melvin Gordon...
It's a better narrative to say that he would not have started.
Like, fuck, man. I'm sitting here. It's a heads-up game. Melvin Gordon isn't going to play. I think the odds are in my favor. Game start. And like 30 seconds after, you know, game start, I get the alert that LeSean McCoy is dead. And I'm like, oh, God, that's it. I hadn't even had enough time to check his lineup to see if he switched it in time. But I was like, even if he didn't replace Melvin Gordon, it's back to a heads-up game because LeSean McCoy is dead. But that's a really long time spent on my matchup. Let us move along, which brings us to our closest competition. This is another good one, another heated exchange. This is Bryson Curtis, get Joe Mixon and Game of Jones. Bryce at 139.68 and Curtis at 135.06. That's a difference under 5 points. Just some quick talking points. Bryce had four players that scored under 7 points and he still scored 140. So a lot like my nemesis, Mark, who had a bunch of people do nothing and still crushed me.
Well, this just speaks to the strength of Bryce's team.
Yeah, you know, so like, even
this
with
is why
that,
I haven't always have him at the top of the power rankings is because he doesn't need a lot of players to perform. He just needs really Todd Gurley.
Yeah, yeah. So he had those four players that score under seven, still puts up 140, and he has three players sitting on his bench that scored over 15 points each. So.
Perfect.
Yeah. Good luck to everyone.
This continues the narrative of everyone having like a really good game against Bryce. Because 135 points typically wins you a week in this league.
Yeah.
But Curtis loses. Interestingly, at 139.68 points, this is by far Bryce's worst performance in a win.
Yeah. So the takeaway from that is fuck you, Bryce. Real quick before we move on, let's figure out who our Keith of the Week is.
Do we have to?
Are you ready?
It's pretty obvious.
Bum, bum. Bow to the... That's the wrong song. Keith of the Week is... Junior!
How did you do these?
That's right, baby. That's right. I'll explain it to you. You're getting Keith of the Week this week. And it really, what it just comes down to is what we've been talking about. Our teams suck. We have nothing to play for, but we're still here doing the damn thing. And that's why you're getting the Keith of the Week.
So this is like best effort.
That's right.
I'll take it.
Speaking of your efforts, you want to do your rankings? You ready to hit the post?
I'll try this.
Let's do it.
Ideas don't determine who's right. Power determines who's
rankings.
Right.
Rankings.
And I have the power.
Rankings.
So I'm right.
This product not yet rated.
Rankings.
Wow, you did a lot better on that than I thought you would.
I was ready. I re-listened to last week and I was like, what is he going to try to throw at me?
Yeah. Yeah, for the record, I'm not necessarily trying to do anything. I compiled a list of all the power ranking drops before we even recorded the first episode. And that was well before I realized I could make my own drops. So I was left to trying to find, 16 weeks plus a draft week, 17 drops that were just on this website with the word power in them.
So this is standard power rankings, but the thing I'm going to flip is that we're going to do it from the bottom. Never mind. Let's just do it from the top to the bottom.
Yeah, I don't have a drop for that. So just, let's go.
From the top to the bottom.
All right. This is going to get boring, but Bryce won. He's number one.
That's a stay. Fuck you, Bryce.
Homeward Brown, Mark, the fantasy wizard,
yes,
is staying as yes. well.
Yeah, that's a stay.
Number three, my Keith counterpart. He also is going to stay.
Yep.
Because those three are all definitely making the playoffs.
Yeah, so these rankings are starting to kind of level out here.
Yeah, so maybe next week we'll just talk about the risers and then the fallers or whatever.
So one through three, I mean, just pencil it in for the rest of the season. It's Bryce, Mark, and Keith Sr. I mean, I could see a scenario where Keith Sr. jumps Mark, and he's number two since he acquired Adam Thielen. But those are your top three. That four spot's still kind of up for grabs. Who you got there?
This is interesting. I would not have guessed that I would be putting him here, but Greg, Mitch's bitches, number four. He's got a lot going right for his team.
Yeah.
Apparently, Mitch Trubisky is like one of the better fantasy quarterbacks.
Yeah, everybody
kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, everybody knew that.
Oh yeah, starting the year off when he was rostered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing going right for him, Devonta Freeman going on the IR, making Tevin Coleman like a top 10 running back rest away.
Yeah, we'll see. Ito Smith's going to try to eat into that.
Oh, wow. That's
nice.
And similarly, with Sony Michel going down, James White is like a top 3 running back.
Yeah. Yeah.
At this point,
Greg's team used to be just like a heap of shit with Saquon Barkley and Rob Gronkowski, and now Gronk's like irrelevant on his team, and his team is just like Saquon Barkley and James White, and he might make the playoffs.
Yeah, like I have him at four here because I think he's going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Stay
motivated, Greg.
Total.
Keep putting in your claims. Keep making your roster moves.
5 and 6. This was the hardest decision I had to make.
Okay.
But I just couldn't bring myself to putting a team who traded away Adam Thielen at number 5. So you are number 5.
I did it. That's a stay for me.
You know, despite having one fewer wins than Curtis, it just feels like Curtis has, you know, packed up for the season.
Too soon.
Even more so than you have.
Yeah. He's got a win on me, though, so he should not. He should not pack up.
Anyway, he's 3-4 and currently in a playoff spot. He should really be trying, and we'll see if he does. But again, you know, things aren't going well for him. So at number 6, much better than my team at number 7.
So, all right, I missed my spot. Number 6 is Game of Jones. There it is. He was a faller.
And KO Wolfpack, number 7.
Also a faller.
And Aaron remains at number 8.
Suck.
You see that changing?
She has some good stuff going for her team, but not enough.
Okay. Time for the preview. It is week 8. Somebody bring me back some money, please. Yeah, if you guys haven't noticed yet, it's just me and Junior here today. So we're just kind of burning right through this. We're going to take a look at next week. We got our matchups here. First one on the docket, you got myself, Zeke, and the Plumbers, like we talked about, going up against the absolute just buzzsaw that is Get Joe Mixon. Again, this is like, I feel like I need to win out to stay relevant in this league. And coming off another loss, I get to go up against Bryce, who, I mean, his team is projected for over 150 points each week. But here's the real rub. It's like, okay, but I made my team better. You know, I'm not afraid of anybody. But I just want to give you a quick rundown of my matchups for my players. Aaron Rodgers, he's pretty good. He's going against the Rams. Alshon Jeffrey, he's pretty good. He's going against Jacksonville. Devonta Adams, Rams. Christian McCaffrey, he's supposed to be a really good running back. He's got Baltimore. What about Zach Ertz? Jacksonville. My entire starting roster is orange or red, matchup-wise. Nick Chubb going up against Pittsburgh, which apparently is a red matchup for a running back. Matt Stafford going against Seattle, apparently a red matchup for quarterback.
Do you have any rough buys this week?
Yeah, I have 4 players on bye. And you might be listening to this and you're like, oh, well, if all the people in your starting lineup have bad matchups, play some people on the bench. Okay. So on the bench, I have Corey Clement against Jacksonville. Tyler Lockett against Detroit, which is apparently a red matchup. Kyle Rudolph against New Orleans, which is a red matchup. Randall Cobb against the Rams, red matchup. Latavius Murray against New Orleans, red matchup. So, yeah. The best part about this week is that Keenan Allen's on a bye, so he can't disappoint me.
Yeah, I got Bryce here.
I too, Brute. Moving on. Keith Senior versus Game of Jones. It's a pretty interesting matchup. Projected fairly close. 136 for Curtis and 142 for Senior. And recent trade partners.
Who do the Vikings play this week?
Vikings play New Orleans.
Oh, okay. So then I definitely have Keith Senior because this shootout. Is definitely karma.
Shootout. Yeah, I'm not down on Curtis's team so much from that trade, but even if his team plays well, I think Adam Thielen just teaches him a lesson in this matchup. I think Adam Thielen just slaps him across the face.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just feel like in general, whenever you trade one of your best players and then you play them, they always have a good week against you.
You mean you think that it's going to be like a revenge game?
It's not going to be a revenge game.
So you're taking Senior?
Yes.
And as am I, Brute. Okay, bear with me. My phone's running out of battery, so it went to sleep. Next matchup, if I can get it pulled up here.
Is Mitch's Bitches versus One Girl No Cup.
Oh, you don't say. It's going to be...
I didn't know I could do that.
It's going to be the old showdown.
Can I try it again?
You sure can.
It's going to be Mitch's Bitches versus One Girl No Cup.
Like a glove. Yeah, that's the showdown for obvious reasons. This is the game of wedded bliss. Husband and wife, you got a pick in this one?
I just went through why I think Greg's team is going to make the playoffs.
So you're picking
Aaron. Certainly not going to make the playoffs if he loses to his wife. So I got Greg here.
Okay, let me just play devil's advocate, see if I can pick out some strong matchups for Aaron. I mean, Danny Amendola's on the rise.
Yeah, he's getting targeted a lot.
Yeah, last game he had 7 targets. The game before that he had 11 targets. Like, pretty sure everyone in Miami's dead at this point. And for some reason, Adam Gase just refuses to use Kenyon Drake. So Danny Amendola on the up and up. She scooped up Lamar Miller, who had a nice game last week. 22 for 101. Trey Boo Boo scored last week. John Brown did some big things last week. He was 7 for 7 at 134-1. If she booms on everybody, then this is a game.
Sure, but... she's kind of at that point where she has to boom on everyone or she needs her opponent to just fucking fall off a cliff.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm feeling lucky tonight because I'm going to win the Mega Millions. And I'm going to pass a little of that luck to my girl, Aaron, and I'm going to give her the nod to win this game. And that leaves us with one last matchup. This is you.
Don't turn your back on the wolf pack.
Too sweet. God, that's some frightening stuff. You, the NKO wolf pack. Are you going to go with another name change now that you're just quitting?
Like I said, I may or may not be part of the NKO black and white by evening's end.
Is that just the name change?
We'll see.
Or is it just for NKO? Life. For life.
Alcohol consumption is a good thing, too.
Yeah, thanks, Curtis. Against Mark. Yeah. You against Mark. That's the matchup.
Anything? Yeah, if it's never steered me wrong before, so I'm picking myself.
Yeah, okay. Let me take just a quick little peek. This one's actually projected close. Mark's only projected to beat you by 4 as rosters currently stand. That's a 48-54% split. You've got Cousins and Diggs in what projects to be maybe a shootout with New Orleans. That's a plus.
Yeah.
You get James Diggs, Connor back.
So Diggs turned 14 targets last week into an 8-for-33 day.
Yeah. Not great.
So he makes me nervous.
I know we didn't do this time next week. And we're not going to, but I do have a prediction, if I may.
Okay, please.
By this time next week, Keith will have dropped Jermaine Kearse.
I think you have a good shot at that coming true.
He scored 0 points. He turned 2 targets into nothing last week. And, this coming week, he's projected for 1.64 points. So, you know, take the over under on that.
So that was after a week where he had like 7 targets with Terrell Pryor and Quincy Enunwa out.
Yeah.
And he somehow only got targeted twice.
It's the Jets, baby. J-E-T-E, Jets. It's not a guaranteed blowout. You're in a better spot than I am matchup-wise, but I mean, you still have to face Patrick Mahomes. He's going against Denver, who their defense hasn't been what it once was. Gordon kind of had a coming out party. He got his 100 yards that Mark predicted. He didn't get the 2 tutties, but he got his 100 yards that I was doubtful he would do. So kudos to the fantasy wizard. Looks like as of now, he's starting Marlon Mack.
So who you got?
Jalen Richard. So I am going to pick you. All right, so the new segment that we are going to debut is we are going to interview prospective managers for our potential league expansion.
Yeah, and so the way I thought that this would work is that over the next 4 weeks, we interview one person each of those 4 weeks, and then we'll take a league vote on each person individually, basically saying yay or nay. So, you know, in this instance, this person that we're about to introduce, you know, maybe 5 of us say yay and 3 of us say nay. But if 2 other people get 8 yays, then this guy's shit out of luck.
Yeah.
And then like the 5th podcast, we'll reveal to the league who's joining next year.
Excellent.
All right. So let's just jump into it. Debut, first time we've done this segment. Hit him with that surround sound. I've decided that this segment is going to be called Who's the New Guy?
I don't like new things. I don't like it when new people come in. It is never a good thing.
The new guy, I don't trust him. What's his purpose going to be?
All right, Keith, who's on the hot seat?
So this week, I'm bringing in my longtime best friend, Tim. We live together throughout college. We just went to a glorified Six Flags in wow. North Carolina. This is Tim.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Tim, real quick, what is a glorified Six Flags?
Glorified Six Flags would mean going to a place with the number one roller coaster in the world.
Wow.
That pretty much had nothing else.
That was it. Just that. What is that roller coaster?
I believe it's the Fury 325. So if you wanted to look at the Golden Ticket Awards, you would see what was listed as number one.
Wow.
Keith, can you confirm that, the Fury 325?
Yeah, so it was a great roller coaster. I guess when I say glorified Six Flags, I just mean like to get an accurate picture of what the park was like. Just think of Six Flags New England, but with a taller Superman.
Can you give a brief description of the roller coaster? Is this a loopy? Is it a big drop? Does it have it all?
It does not have it all. Technically, it's the largest giga coaster in the world, which just means kind of the tallest with a chain lift, essentially.
Okay.
And it's more of, I don't believe there were any loops. I don't really remember. Maybe there were. But it was much more of a kind of go high, drops, go fast.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Cool.
Hey, Andrew, do you think Tim's really impressing everyone right now?
Yeah, so we haven't even started our scheduled questions, but we've already learned that Tim is a roller coaster expert, and every fantasy football league needs a roller coaster expert. So
we do, especially in this one. Tim, so how this is going to work is that we collected one question from every manager, and we have eight managers in this league. So we're basically going to run down these questions, and based on your answer, you're going to vote on whether or not you deserve to be in Keith Wanted a League.
Real quick, before we start the questions, I just want to... Well, number one, I've had a drop queued up for since the beginning of this podcast when I thought we were going to do Fantasy Court. But I think that it's relevant, so I'm just going to play that now.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
And the reason I'm playing that is because I just want to make it clear that there are not necessarily right and wrong answers to any of these questions. Just answer the questions truthfully, and then different members of the league might value your answers differently. But that's basically what I wanted to say. Don't try to play your answers to the audience. Just we want the true Tim here.
All right. What you hear is what you get.
All right, Keith.
All right. So let's go. First question. What is your favorite football movie?
My favorite football movie would have to be Remember the Titans. Yeah. I would put it on a, if I'm ever home and it comes on TV, it is one of the few movies that I will just stop and watch. And I think the mixture of emotion, music, and I think some decent football action makes it a an all-timer when it comes to movies.
Okay. Keith, right, because this right. is the first time that we've done this, should we be providing any kind of reaction or feedback, or should we like play our cards close to our chest?
I think we don't want to influence the rest of the league with how we react. So I do think this is going to be kind of like rapid fire ish.
Okay.
Let Tim, you know, sink or swim on his own. If okay. he wants to dig himself a hole, let's just let him dig it.
Okay, I can't make any promises. I mean, if there's something that's just like real incendiary, I might have to lean in. But
sure. But for this one, you know, this is a inoffensive answer. So let's move on.
Wait, real quick, another question. Do you want to reveal whose questions you're asking?
I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's more fun because the rest of the people in the league don't know everybody else's questions.
That's true. So that was Mark's question.
Mark is the fantasy wizard.
We're going to go next to Andrew's. When was the last time you left a shopping cart in a parking space at the grocery store?
I will go on record and say I have never done that. I actually just the other day was parking my cart and had my son Nick in it, and it was just the two of us, and it was very cold out, and I still, maybe I'm a bad father, but bundled him up, carried him, and pushed the cart, because it was close to the end of the night, back to the grocery store, and then carried him to the car after putting the groceries away. I just think it's something you don't do.
Okay.
Follow-up question. Would you ever leave Nick in the car to drag the cart to like one of those corrals mid parking lot?
No. And probably the number one reason would be he would not let me. He likes to go in the quote unquote cart tunnel every time we bring it back.
Don't we all?
Tim just revealed himself as a father that may play well.
We only have room for so many fathers.
Yeah, we'll see. Next question. Bryce wants to know, what's your favorite beer and why?
Ooh, I think the answer would be whatever is free. I personally am not a picky beer person. So if somebody is handing me a beer and it's either I pay for it or not, I'm going to take the one that's free.
Is there a beer that if someone were to hand you for free, you would not drink?
I probably would not touch Rolling Rock. I think that was one that recently I decided it was just not worth it. But otherwise, I mean, I think I would just try it first and see where I stood.
Fair enough.
All right. Speaking of not touching things, Aaron wants to know, if you're 1 inch inside your mother and your father is 1 inch inside of you, which way do you move? Tim, you can speak over this.
I'm going to pass.
Thanks, Aaron.
You're passing. Okay, everyone take note. Tim has passed on a relevant and fair question. All right, moving on. Greg wants you to pick two of the following shows. Doesn't specify if these are your favorite. Just pick two, whatever that is.
Okay.
Whatever you think your criteria should be. Friends, The Office, Seinfeld, How I Met Your Mother, and New Girl.
All right. I will pick two, similar to an overpriced Panera meal. I will select The Office, and I'm going to say How I Met Your Mother. I love Seinfeld. I just feel like ultimately if something's on TV, those are probably the two that I'm leaning towards. Not to say those are the best, but those are my two.
It's really hard not to react. Maybe we'll do an episode where we, like after the fact, we react to some of the answers.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Like a league-wide episode,
yeah.
Or get some few people on there, play the clips, and then have everyone react, and we'll like vote on that episode.
Yes.
Okay, Andrew, hold your tongue then.
I will.
All right.
What if I don't want to wait? What if I want to hear the feedback right now?
Then you're
too
out.
Too bad. There you go. Doubled up on it.
So Tim, listen carefully because this is an important one. Okay. This is Keith's question. Keith Senior, not me. In the movie E.T. the Extraterrestrial, Elliot laid out a trail of peanut butter and chocolate hard-shelled candy in order to lure E.T. inside his house. Please name that candy.
Reese's Pieces.
Okay. All right. Andrew, anything?
Oh, no.
All right, and
it's not. It's also Reese's Pieces, not Reese's Pieces, just to clarify.
Well, thanks for that clarification. It's been noted. And I also wanted to slip in that I had to reword Keith Senior's question a little bit to get his desired result.
Mm-hmm.
He'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here are the hard-hitting last two questions. Curtis wants to know, if you were a manager in this league, Would you ever use collusion to sabotage it?
Don't know why I would ever use collusion to sabotage a league. It feels like it's kind of like cheating on somebody. If you're going to cheat on someone, you might as well just break up beforehand. So I the answer would have to be no.
It's a little love life.
So you're saying you would quit the league rather than sabotage it?
Correct.
Okay.
And certainly not quit, not quit mid league. I would say, I think mid season you have to follow the season through, and you only leave after the season concludes, courteously.
Yeah. Okay. It's been documented.
All right. Documented. I hope that satisfies Curtis. Last question. I'm the one asking questions, so I left my question to be the final one, Tim. And please be truthful here. How many fantasy teams do you currently manage?
I currently manage three teams. So I manage a team of undergraduate, college, and beyond friends. I manage a team from business school friends. And I manage a family league team as well. Two of the teams are on ESPN.com. One of the teams is on Yahoo. I actually don't know what this league uses for its structure. I would say one thing I do with these three teams is that I tend to try to, where I can, pick similar players. I just don't want to be too spread out. So I don't know whether that influences me well or poorly, but you'll see overlap in some of the players on these teams, which I guess naturally happens as well based on who you like and don't like.
And are you a commissioner of any of these leagues?
I am not a commissioner on any league. I like to be a participant. I don't want to be dangling the strings of the league. Mm-hmm. Although I do certainly have opinions on leagues, but I like to voice the opinions and then move on.
Sure. If you were to be so lucky to be selected as an expansion manager in this league, would this make a fourth, or would you leave one of the other three leagues?
Good question. I don't know the answer. I mean, I guess as I look at, and not to bore people with fantasy leagues that they're not involved in, but as I just look around, I mean, I have a hard time believing I would drop out of my family league, although that I would say takes very little of my time, if any. And then the business school league just has a lot of money riding on it, and a few people pay attention. And so there's a little bit of an incentive to stay there, because I'd like to think in the long run I would make money on it. Mm-hmm. And then the other league I certainly have my disagreements with. I've flirted with the idea of leaving, but don't know whether I would or not. And that's, you know, I don't want to speculate.
Okay. Those are the eight questions, yeah?
Yeah, those are the eight questions. And I do want to keep this kind of short because I'm literally sitting in my car at work, and I should be working, but
nice.
I'm not.
Okay. Yeah. And for everybody on the edge of their seats that's wanting a little bit of reaction, we're going to save that. So there it was.
Can I toss a question out to the league?
Ooh. Is this one of those like business school things where they're like, always show up to an interview with a question for the interviewers?
This is good. What you got?
All right. I would like to know, who is the fantasy football player that you hate the most from every league member?
All right. Well, Andrew, do you want to give your answer now? Do you have one?
Man, I mean, I have names that immediately come to mind, but I might want to do a little bit more thinking on it. So do we want to just send that out to the league, and we'll compile answers, and in that episode where we do our reactions, we can also give our answers?
Sure, but let me just throw a name out there. Okay. DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
Interesting.
I won't explain it. I'll save that for the reaction pod, but Tim, there's a little morsel for you to just nibble on while you're waiting.
Yeah.
I look forward to listening to the reaction pod.
A little peanut butter chocolate covered hard candy for you to nibble on there.
Yeah, there you go. I really do need to get back to work. Game on!